You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hey, welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, May 11th.
Yes, soon to be Friday the 13th.
Ooh, it is this week, isn't it?
It is.
That's it. I'm locking myself in the basement with Kraft dinner.
What's
or Kraft macaroni and cheese if you live south of the border.
Right. What's the theme for Friday the 13th? I was going to hum it, but I don't know it.
Well, it's just the K-K-K. K-K-K. It really isn't a theme, I don't think.
Oh, all right.
It's not like Halloween where you got da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Right. All right, well.
And what better than 70s/80s horror movie themes to kick off a show?
Definitely.
Show on the road to nowhere.
Definitely.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
Talk about Banff. We just got back from Banff, which shouldn't be confused with the sound effect that Nightcrawler makes when he teleports, which is Banff, B-A-M-F-F. It's very different. This is B-A-N-F-F.
Yes.
Banff. Okay, go.
Well, I don't think I've ever really spent any amount of time there before in the past, and I actually quite enjoyed it.
Banff is a national park in Canada.
Yes.
And it is in the Rocky Mountains.
And considering, seriously, how... I can't believe it. I hadn't really ever been there. I'm sort of shocked by that, because I don't know why.
Well, and from where you grew up, it would have been... 1, 2, 3 hours? 3 hour drive? And
yeah.
It's about 4, 4.5 from where we live now. So there's really no excuse when you have the Rockies that close.
I know. How weird.
How weird indeed.
So anyway, yeah, I found I actually quite enjoyed it and I'm actually would like to go back.
The problem with the town is that it is very commercialized. It very much there aren't many franchises that I didn't see there.
Really? I know.
So
that was surprising.
There's a Gap store. There's a Lululemon store. There, basically, anything you'd want to buy that's a high-end label is there.
Yeah. So there's good shopping, and there's beautiful nature.
That's right. Good shopping.
You can't go wrong.
That's right. That's exactly what I want to do when I want to enjoy the outdoors, is take out my credit card and shop. Couldn't be less interested in that.
Yeah, but you also don't want to hike, so what does that leave?
It leaves standing and looking at mountains.
Which is going to be fun for about half an hour.
Standing at the bottom of a mountain, looking up at it.
And for you, more like
30 seconds. Ready and done. Let's go home. But we just drove 4.5. I'm going home.
Yeah.
No, so it was fine.
You really aren't a big vacationer.
I'm a people watcher, though. So there was a lot of that opportunity there.
That's true. Very true.
You could certainly tell the locals from the tourists, of which we were some.
Yes.
And I was doing everything I could to not be one of those annoying tourists.
Right. So. And the thing that annoying tourists do that annoys you the most is they stand in the middle of the walking
and
path and look around them.
They're
and don't
lost.
Pay attention
That's
to
right.
people who are trying to walk.
They are rocks in the middle of a stream. If you want to sightsee to one side of the flow of traffic. That's all I ask. It's not a lot to ask. So, Arnold and Maria broke up.
That is really, really bizarre to me.
And I was reading a bit of a timeline, and it sounds like, well...
Have they been separated in the past?
Well, I think they were, probably before people realized... And I don't know why they decided to make it official now versus when it actually happened. I don't know. Maybe they were waiting for the end of his second term as governor. I don't know.
Probably. That wouldn't be surprising.
But really,
so how long have they been separated then?
Well, I haven't read anything that says an official timeline, but it seems like right from, you know, partway into their marriage, they were married 25 years. So probably even 5 or 10 years into their marriage. I mean, how do you marry somebody who is not only just a sex symbol, I guess, during his movie career, but also, I mean, as a bodybuilder, he had this reputation for being a playboy. And, you know, as many women as wanted to be with him, he was happy to be with them as well. So
And that didn't... You're not giving me anything now. What did you learn from this timeline?
They split up. It seems like they were having trouble quite a while ago.
Okay.
And maybe just stayed together for their three children. I don't know.
Okay. So you learned when they got married and you learned when they split up.
When their children were born, when, you know, some of the highlights, Terminator 2, things like that during their relationship.
Oh, I see. Okay. Probably no one will ever know the real story.
No, that's right. Except for them. Wait a minute. I'll get him on the horn. No, I don't. I don't know.
Until one of them writes a tell-all book, and then everyone will know.
Well, supposedly Maria's, you know, we're on the first-name basis now, right? So Maria phoned me. No, she is supposedly going to be on Oprah's show at some point. I don't know if this is Oprah's new show or Oprah's old show before it ends. I don't know.
But so I don't care, quite
people,
frankly.
Exactly. So I think people are wondering, ooh, will she dish?
Right.
So I don't know.
Probably not much. She seems pretty classy.
So she does. She does. And she's a Shriver, so yes. Related to the Kennedys.
Yes.
Now, what were we going to talk about? So we're in that weird Twilight Zone, the end of the TV season, pretty much. Like, I think anything that hasn't ended already is wrapping up in the next week or two.
Yes.
And then we're going from there. I mean, so we're getting into the TV drought, bridging into the movie attack.
Right.
So a very short period of time, May, June, July, pretty much. And then the movie season is over for the summer.
Well, there's a lot of finales coming up this month.
Okay. Lay it on us.
Justified? I'm not sure what that is. That's ending on the 4th of May, so it has ended.
May the 4th be with you.
That's right.
Again.
On the 5th was the 30 Rock finale.
Yep.
The 6th was the Fringe finale.
Okay. Which we're still catching up on, by the way. The 6th was also the premiere of Thor in theaters.
Right. And
what else you got there? Community and Vampire Diaries wrap on the 12th.
Yes. Oh, and there's a book by Steve Earle coming out. That's kind of cool.
Wow. I didn't know he could write.
Smallville finale
series
was
finale, no less.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, and that's
was
this Friday.
Coming up. Yes. Friday the 13th, the end of Smallville, 10 seasons.
Yep.
Crazy.
Survivor finale's on the 15th.
Chuck, How I Met Your Mother, Real Wives of New Jersey on the 16th.
The Good Wife is on the 17th. Big Bang Theory. Bones, Grey's Anatomy, The Office, Parks and Rec.
So three of our shows.
It's on the 19th. The Celebrity Apprentice on the 22nd. The Bachelorette on the 23rd.
American Idol
on the 25th. America's Got Talent
on the 31st.
So that's just this month.
That's the so that'll probably be the majority of the season finales, I would think.
Well, none of the CSIs were in there.
No, and I don't know if they have wrapped. I think New York wrapped already.
Oh, yeah, a few of them have. I think the CSI Miami one is yet to come, isn't it?
Could be. Couldn't care less.
Did we see something about that the other night?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, we probably saw the very end of the finale. We were in the hotel.
Oh, yeah, so maybe it did wrap then completely.
I have a question. I know you hate them, but what's your favorite, speaking of Thor, what's your favorite superhero movie if you had to pick one? I know you hate superhero movies. You know what I
think?
Probably
Iron Man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of, The Dark Knight. But that's kind of an obvious one. Superman, the original with Chris Reeve. And The Incredibles, I think.
Yeah, The Incredibles was good. But I think of all of them, I really like Robert Downey Jr. I have to confess.
Yes.
So Iron Man is really probably my favorite.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
And there's still
and
more to come.
The sequel was good, too.
I mean, there's the X-Men films, there's the Wolverine film, there is...
I haven't seen Wolverine yet, but I might like that one if I saw it.
It's not bad. X-Men First Class is coming out soon, and that looks to be quite good. Very well cast, and the trailers that I've seen look cool. We still haven't seen Thor. What I thought we would do is you have some time this week during the afternoon. I have some time during this week during the afternoon. Maybe we'll go and see it.
Yeah.
And check it out maybe before we take the kids or...
Right, that might be a good idea.
Just for fun.
There's a new app available, which I thought sounded kind of cool.
Okay.
It's called Crackle.
Okay.
and it's for iPhone and iPad.
Ooh, I'll download it right now. No, yes. Seriously, let me find out what it is.
It's Sony Picture Entertainment's new streaming media app. And I guess it shot to the top of the iTunes charts when it was released recently. It comes bearing choice gifts from the Sony catalog, including movies like Ghostbusters, The Da Vinci Code, and Pineapple Express, and selections of beloved TV staples such as the puffy shirt episode of Seinfeld.
My question would be, and I have a feeling we'll be disappointed, will Crackle support anything in Canada? Just like Netflix. I mean, Netflix in Canada is getting there, but Netflix US is still much richer content. So, I don't know. We'll check it out. We will check out Crackle.
Okay.
Speaking of iPad apps, I think everybody knows that I just kind of jumped on the iPad train a month or so ago. I downloaded a really cool app that's actually a Disney app. It's called the Disney Second Screen. It's an interactive on-screen film feature that's accessible by your PC or by iPad, and iPad is way more fun. It provides additional content that you can view while you're watching a movie. So, for example, I downloaded the Tron Legacy version, and we have Tron Legacy on Blu-ray. So, super cool. You fire up the Second Screen app, you fire up your Blu-ray, you click on a button on the iPad, and it listens to the audio of the Blu-ray as it plays and syncs the two up. Then in the bottom right left-hand corner of the screen on both the movie and the iPad, there's a sequential number counter that shows you that they're linked up and that they're matching. And what you can do is, as you're watching, this content streams on your iPad, so you can see conceptual designs and quotes from people and things like that. And if there's something that interests you, you can just click on the iPad to enlarge it or pause it or whatever to check it out in more detail. And then as soon as you're done, there's another button that just says resync with video. And it just takes 2 seconds and it resyncs and jumps to where it is in the movie.
Awesome.
Super cool. So, I mean, there's the complete experience feature that came with 300. So that was on there, and that, you know, had kind of a live picture-in-picture thing with Zack Snyder, who directed 300. And he, you know, there's a thing there. Terminator Salvation, I believe, had one with McGee. So something on at the same time. So this isn't all that different, but it separates the content into your iPad. So you can have your iPad in your lap. What I did was we had a heater in the basement that's at the right eye level. So I just kind of set my iPad in just kind of put the stand together and set it there. And so that it was just below my screen in my field of view so that I could look at both. Mm-hmm. And then just grab the iPad when I wanted to enlarge. So super cool and free. So Disney Second Screen, check it out on iTunes. Go to Disney Second Screen Tron or Disney Second Screen Bambi, which is that's when it was first launched, was with the Bambi Diamond Edition Blu-ray, so March 1st of this year.
Is there only those two things available right
now? So far, those are the only two that I've seen. Those are the two themes. And I would assume Lion King is coming. You know, some of these other big titles are coming. I would be really, really surprised if we didn't see those as well. So you can also go to the dedicated website, which is DisneySecondScreen.com, and that will tell you a bit more about it if you want.
Cool.
So, yeah. Very neat. This is kind of fun. I thought we're kind of all over the map here this week, but that's just life lately. I've wanted to talk about this on the show quite a bit, and we've never really gotten around to it. I'm always fascinated by original casting. So if a film that's become well known or become, you know, part of our culture, really embedded in our culture, had different casting originally before the film was made, I thought that was kind of interesting. Some of the obvious examples would be Eric Stoltz playing Marty McFly in Back to the Future before he was replaced by Michael J. Fox. So, of course, you can't think of Back to the Future without Michael J. Fox, but kind of cool that Eric Stoltz was in it at first.
I don't think I know who that is.
Eric Stoltz?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. I need to point him out to you. He was big in the 80s.
Okay.
He's been around a long time. What about Stallone as the Terminator?
That would have been horrible.
James Cameron's favorite take on the role was actually also O.J. Simpson.
Ew!
Because at that time, O.J. was a big, was a good guy, and he thought, oh, that'd be kind of neat. Let's have him do it. Also, another guy that Cameron has used a lot in his movies is Lance Henriksen. And he was the star of a two- or three-season series called Millennium that was done by Chris Carter, who created X-Files. So Lance Henriksen also did a screen test, but he wasn't really the right fit, so he didn't end up doing it. He ended up playing a cop in the movie, so that was kind of cool. Stallone was actually offered the role of the time-traveling assassin, so, of course, the Terminator. So he passed on it, and then shortly after that, James Cameron got wind of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the rest is history. What if Kevin Costner had played Jack Ryan instead of Harrison Ford in, or instead of Alec Baldwin in Hunt for Red October? Interesting.
Then you know what? So many people have played Jack Ryan now that it wouldn't have even mattered.
Yeah, and to varying degrees of success and or failure.
It's not like Terminator is like a iconic role. So that one's a lot harder to picture somebody else in.
Yeah.
But Jack Ryan, anybody could do it now. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I still think of Harrison Ford as... He was older than the role was kind of depicted in the books, but he was great. How can you say anything bad about Harrison Ford? Patriot Games, great Jack Ryan movie.
Yes.
Top Gun, what if Matthew Modine had played Pete Mitchell, the role that Tom Cruise played? Matthew Modine, who was in movies like Vision Quest and Birdie. And he was he was Paramount's first and only choice initially. And Modine passed, and Tom Cruise got it. And then Tom Cruise's career took off from there.
Yeah, and then who knows where the other dude went.
Yeah, Matthew Modine. What about Scooby-Doo if Jim Carrey had played Shaggy?
Bit too old, I think.
He had worked with four Warner Brothers on Batman Forever, and he's a Canadian, by the way. And we're also very interested in having him play that role. And
he would have been too old.
They had also hired Sarah Gilbert to play Velma, but that didn't go very far. Yeah, so it kind of sat in development for a long, long time, kind of sat on the shelf, and by the time they were ready to actually greenlight the project, Jim Carrey was just too big to do it. And by then, Sarah Gilbert had, you know, she'd really cooled off from her time in Roseanne, and no one was interested, so. What about if Burt Reynolds had played Sonny Corleone in The Godfather? Weird. So instead of, I just blanked out, James Caan, what if Burt Reynolds had played that role? Yikes.
Weird.
Yeah.
You know, Burt Reynolds, he missed out on so many things. Why was that?
I don't know. And, you know, it seems like Marlon Brando may have had a role in that. He just kind of wasn't too impressed with the consideration of Burt Reynolds and just said, nope, not doing it. And something else I've read is that he also vetoed Stallone was supposed to play Superman at one point instead of Chris Reeve.
Oh.
And because Brando was playing Superman's father, he just said, nope. Won't do it.
Interesting.
What about Christopher Walken as Han Solo? Weird.
I think I've heard that one before.
Yeah, Star Wars has had really, like, Kurt Russell as Luke Skywalker at one point.
That would have been weird.
Yeah. Deborah Winger, I think, was even being considered as Princess Leia.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, too.
It wouldn't have been terrible. Because, I mean, you wouldn't know any different, right? You would know that's the actor in the role.
Yeah. He probably would have been fine.
Let's see. I'm jumping over some that aren't very interesting. Holy cow, Stallone was up for a lot. Beverly Hills Cop, Stallone playing Axel Foley, the role that went to Eddie Murphy. Yikes.
That I could not see. Well, no. Maybe. I don't know.
So he was originally cast in the role, and it was supposed to be more action-centric and less comedy. And then ultimately, once it had been tweaked and changed around, he said, nah, see you later.
Huh.
And so then, by then, because it was more of a comedy role, Eddie Murphy had just done 48 Hours in Trading Places, so, you know, he's perfect.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is John McClane instead of Bruce Willis. No. No. That would have been weird. See, again, you wouldn't know any different, but Bruce
Willis
was...
Arnold Schwarzenegger is so... he's really versatile.
Yeah, he is.
He probably would have done a great job.
He's also versatile.
Oh, shut up.
No, you can pronounce it either way. That's fine. what if Mel Gibson had played Harvey Dent, Two-Face, in Batman Forever instead of Tommy Lee Jones? Weird. That would have been weird.
Okay.
Tommy Lee Jones was kind of over the top, though, but I don't know. This is one I've heard before. John Belushi is Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters. There was talk of Eddie Murphy playing Winston Zeddemore, the African-American character.
Oh, yeah.
So there's quite a lot of... John Candy was up for playing the role that Martin Short played.
Oh, yeah.
So it would have been very, very different. Michael J. Fox as Bruce Wayne in Batman, in the Batman movie in 1989. Yikes. Wow.
It's probably too short.
Well, and not... Yeah, a little bit too... Because as sarcastic as Michael Keaton can be, it just... That would have been weird.
But again, it's one of those things where so many people have played Batman now that it doesn't even matter anymore.
It's true. and wait till the next reimagining.
Exactly.
Michael J. Fox was up for the role of Robin, which would have been cool. He would have been good for that.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. What else? What else? I'm just looking. Anthony Hopkins as Jor-El in Superman Returns, the reboot in 2006. He would have been good.
Is that the bad guy?
No, that's Superman's father. He would have been really good.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Tony Hopkins plays Odin in Thor, the Thor movie. Michelle Pfeiffer at one point was up for the role of Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs, and then she read the script and said, yikes, too violent, can't do that, too dark. And from the minute Jodie Foster read the book, she knew she wanted to do it, so she campaigned hard, and that role really made her career for her, so awesome.
Craziness.
Tom Cruise is Neo in The Matrix, yike.
Ew, no.
Johnny Depp as Marty McFly in Back to the Future, no.
No.
What else? Richard Dreyfuss is Douglas Quaid in Total Recall instead of Schwarzenegger? Yikes.
Richard Dreyfuss. That would have been really different.
Totally different take on the material, I guess. Totally different idea or approach.
Definitely. No kidding.
So Thor is blowing the wheels off of the theaters right now.
Well.
Hammering everybody else. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Last weekend's box office... I believe it was last week.
Yeah, you were saying number one kind of surprised you, hey?
Number one was Rio.
And that's the 3D animated...
Avian Adventure.
And you said it beat both Rango and Hop?
Yes.
Crazy.
This weekend. For the weekend it did.
So for anybody who doesn't know, Rio is created by Blue Sky Studios, which is the Fox-owned animation group that did the Ice Age movies.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So apparently it's a good one. It was one you were not interested in seeing at all.
No.
Maybe you'll have to reconsider.
You know what? And I'm thinking I'm still not. I don't know.
Water for Elephants was number 3.
Yep.
Number 2 was Medea's Big Happy Family.
Medea?
No idea what that is.
Yeah, I don't know that movie.
Me
either. Have to check it out. And by the way, we just got a Facebook invite from our good friend Carrie Leland at Edmonton's Child Magazine. And she said, you guys interested in going see Kung Fu Panda 2? She said, interested? Are you crazy? Skadoosh.
Actually, so, you know what? This is a couple weekends ago now. We're a little behind.
What's that? Oh, okay. Michelle is looking at old information. So Thor kicked butt and hammered the competition this weekend.
Yeah, I would say.
So we're planning to get out to see that.
There is one out that kind of interested me. It's called African Cats.
Yeah.
And it's narrated by Samuel Jackson.
Cool.
It's set in East Africa.
Okay.
The stars of the show are a lion cub and a cheetah mother.
Hmm.
So.
And as we all know, cheetahs never prosper.
I'm not sure if it's an actual...
documentary?
Like, wildlife sounds like it is, yeah.
You know what I really want to see that doesn't have lions or cheetahs in it? Fast Five.
Oh, yeah?
The Fast and the Furious sequel.
Yeah, it's getting really good reviews.
We were talking about it last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever that was. We were talking about it on the show recently, and they have kind of taken it in a slightly different direction from the the underground world of racing to more of a heist movie, and they've really kind of revived the franchise and are looking at doing a lot more, you know, doing some additional sequels.
Yeah. Well, apparently it keeps all of the thrills of the previous films, but ups the ante by adding Dwayne Johnson,
The Rock,
as an FBI agent and moving the action to Rio de Janeiro.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I don't know. I guess maybe it's worth seeing.
We got to put together our stuff we got to see list.
Yeah.
I guess stuff we got to catch up on. Stuff what we got to catch up on and stuff that we need to see. So there you go. Hopefully your weather is warming up. We are in the low to mid 20s this week. 20 degrees, like 22, 24, 26 Celsius. So that's pretty toasty. And we're happy about that. Lots of sun. Grass is going green and weeds are popping up. So I've got work to do.
Yes, unfortunately, that is part of the gig. It's either shovel or mow.
That's right.
You don't get a choice.
Or Mo Shovel, which is my other rapper name. Kenny D. What was it? It was Special
K. Dix.
Special K. Special K. K. Dix.
Yeah.
K. D. What was that last one?
Mo Shovel.
Mo Shovel. So that's been Viewed from the Couch for Wednesday.
May 11th.
Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your support and your two ears tuned to us. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.